Some of you aren't even sure what alto's are, never mind at singing at that point. I'm not sure where that appeared from. It certainly didn't appear from me. Anyhow, it's a great hymn, a wonderful hymn. Can I encourage you to open your Bible at the passage we read from 1 Samuel chapter 13 this evening? As I've said, we are commencing this series in the evenings on the life of David. You will have heard me mention this morning that, God willing, we hope to next Sunday morning commence a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and that will really be our themes going through this winter season. David, and as we think of David, David is a favourite character, I suspect, from the Christian scriptures. The Psalms that he wrote under God have been a blessing to countless numbers. And his life, which is documented in considerable detail in the Bible, tells us about the highs and the lows, the joys and the sorrows. And so it's to the life of this man that we turn. And I do trust and pray that for all who have ears to hear, that it will be a blessing to our souls. It would seem from what we're told about David that even from he was a young boy, and certainly a young man, that he was a person of great sensitivity. I don't know, tonight, would you describe yourself as quite a sensitive person? Someone who maybe thinks quite deeply about things, someone who can be moved even to tears with things. Well, it's no bad thing to be that kind of character. David was a bit like that. He was a wonderful mix. He was interested in music. He was a musician. He was interested in poetry. So, young folk, you may say, well, I'm definitely not interested in poetry. But David was interested in poetry. Indeed, he was a very wonderful poet. But he was also a wonderful mix. You might be tempted, some of you young people, to say, well, poetry's just for sissies. Are you allowed to say that in this age? I'm not sure. But David was no sissy. David was a very strong character. He was a very courageous young man. And indeed, you only have to think of how we're told from the Bible that even as a young lad, he was sent out as a shepherd. And he learned to fend off the wild animals with his sling. So he was no coward. He was no sissy. There was a toughness running through David. And indeed, he became a leader. He became a leader of men, arguably the greatest king of Israel, a soldier and a leader of those around him. But tonight, as we think about that, we think of something a little bit deeper. We have already read from 1 Samuel chapter 13, and those words, again, let me draw your attention to them. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And Saul is brought this quite devastating news that even though he is the king, that God is going to set him to the side, because it seems that Saul does not have a heart after God, and he has blatantly disobeyed the Lord. Now, any of us can disobey the Lord. Does that mean that we're going to be set aside? Well, I trust not, but there was something deeper going on in Saul's heart. The whole thing just wasn't quite right. And we're told, interestingly, it's also a chapter 13. That's one way to remember these two places, 1 Samuel 13 and Acts chapter 13, where it says this, that after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. So tonight, just as we introduce this study on David, there are a number of things I just want to draw to your attention just very simply. And the first one is this. David, a man after God's own heart, he was sought and found of God. Samuel says, the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. And Paul in Acts 13 says of God that he found a man after God's own heart. So he was both sought and he was found of God. The context, and we don't need to go into all the details tonight, but the context back in Samuel was the demise of King Saul. Saul had disobeyed, and it would seem, as I've already said, that his heart just wasn't a heart for God. And you know, if you don't have a heart for God, young person or older person, then you're not really going to be used of God at all. That was the case with Saul. But if you do have a heart for God, then lots of possibilities open up. God sought out a man, and God found a man in David. Isn't that a lovely thought? Even when God, as it were, saw this young lad growing up on the farm, going out to tend the sheep. And the Bible tells us that lots of people didn't pay any attention to David. You remember the other story when Jesse was asked to bring in all his sons? And everybody came prancing in. But they didn't even think about David. Nobody else? Well, there is one other lad, but oh, bring him in. You see, it seems that David had almost been forgotten about. Maybe people didn't think that highly of him. Maybe they just dismissed him because he was a young lad. Oh, he's just a young lad. We'll not bother with him. He's not really important. But God had touched David. God had sought him. God had found him. And that's what made the difference. And of course, remember when we speak about God seeking and finding, it was only by the grace of God that David became what he was. And for any of us, it's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. If you're a young Christian here this evening or an older Christian, it's only by the grace of God that you are what you are. But God still calls. God still seeks men and women, young and old. Do you realize that tonight? I wonder, do you hear that tonight? That God calls. God is still seeking. God is still seeking after men and women and boys and girls and young teenagers. God is seeking you. And you know, sometimes God looks for something and doesn't find it. The example I always think about is presented to us by the prophet Ezekiel. Let me remind you of these words, where it says of God, I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Sometimes God looks, doesn't find what he's looking for. It's a peculiar thing. And even today, I'm sure that is the case, that God is seeking, and sometimes he's not finding what he's looking for, if we can dare use such language. You see, God seeks, and even tonight, I believe, in this place, God seeks and searches. And it was very appropriate for us to sing that hymn, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." God is looking. God is searching. God is looking for young people. God is looking for older people tonight in Kilkeel who will have a heart after the Lord. I wonder what he will find here in Kilkeel tonight. I wonder what he will find even within these four walls tonight. I wonder what he'll find in the kingdom of Mourne. Tell me tonight, as God seeks after you and God looks into your heart, what does he see? Do you have a heart for God? Do you have a desire for a heart for God? That's a very, very good start. Yes, I know that there's 101 things maybe in your mind at the moment. It's coming to a very busy time of the year. There's a harvest to gather in. There's a whole lot of other stuff to be done in the family. There's a whole lot of other business things that need tended to. Yeah, of course. I'm not dismissing those, far from it. But in the midst of all of that, will God find a people? In the midst of all the stuff that has to be done, will God find a people in this place with a heart after him? I love those words of the psalmist. Psalm 63. Listen to these words, folks. I find them very moving. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That's the man or the woman, the young person, seeking after God. You know, it's true today, and I don't say this easily or lightly, and I don't say it hopefully in a harsh way or a judgmental way, but I think it is true today that many people can play a little bit at being a Christian. They can go through the motions. And I suppose all I would say is, let's ensure that that's not the case with us. Let's really go hard after God. That's an interesting phrase. I use it, and it's a phrase that people would have used in bygone generations. To go hard after God. Many people today, they will go hard after many other things. They will go hard after getting more stuff. They will go hard after this, that, and the other thing. And much of that may be absolutely fair enough. But is there a people today who will go hard after God? David was sought and found of God. But the second thing that I would say is that David was molded of God. David was molded of God. You see, David, God sought after a man, and he found that man on this occasion in David. And what we're going to notice over coming weeks is how David was shaped and molded by God. It's maybe a little while since we sang this little chorus, but I think it's a lovely little chorus. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. That's the heart after God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. Break me and melt me and mold me and fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. That's the heart after God. How does this happen? How are we going to be molded of God? Well, if you have your Bible, let me direct you to the treasury of David again. If you want to glance over to Psalm 119 just for a moment. Psalm 119, and so I'm asking the question, how can you and I be molded of God? Tell me, how does that happen? Well, let me read these well-known verses, just a couple, two or three verses. Psalm 119, verse 9, okay? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So how are you and I going to be molded by God, shaped by God into the young people and the older people that God would want us to be? Well, here is probably the primary way in which that will happen. And it's all to do with this. It's all to do with the Word of God. This is why in our evangelical tradition, this is why within our Presbyterian tradition, and it is a very good and worthy tradition that we put so much emphasis on the Bible. Because we believe that it is through the Word of God that God the Holy Spirit molds people to become more like Jesus. God had sought and found David when he was still a young man. David was a young man under the law and the word of God. And if you and I are going to be men and women molded of God with a heart after God, then we must sit under that same law and that same word. Let me commend a book to you. I believe the ladies were hearing about J.C. Ryle the other evening. And I want to also commend a little book by J.C. Ryle, Thoughts for Young Men. In fact, it says Thoughts for Young Men in the Prime of Life. So I don't know whether you feel tonight you're in the prime of life. Whether you do or whether you don't, well, that doesn't really matter. But let me just draw to your attention. And maybe this is spoken to some of our younger lads and younger men. So listen up, lads. Ryle says it is possible to be both a young man and a servant of God. And he says this, there's a cloud of witnesses whom I could name. Listen to this. Time would fail me if I were to tell you about young Isaac, young Joseph, young Joshua, young Samuel, young David, young Solomon, young Abijah, young Obadiah, young Josiah, young Timothy. They were not angels, but they were young men with hearts after God. That's an encouragement, isn't it? And he goes on to say, as one of the chief things, aim to make the Bible your guide and your advisor. So again, this is all tying in. Young people, you were at the YF tonight, and you heard some of the reasons as to why you need to get into the Bible. We're not saying you have to sit for hours upon hours every day reading it, but even to carve out a short time to get into the habit of reading the Word of God, so that God can wash you, so that you can enjoy some good food, so that you can rest, so that you can take exercise, and you can learn. That's what's involved in getting in to the Word of God, to be moulded by Him and to allow God to shape you. So a man after God's own heart, sought and found of God, moulded of God. Here's the third and final thing that I would say to you tonight. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And let me remind you what it said. In many ways, those two chapter 13s are the text tonight. 1 Samuel 13 says this: "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him to be leader of his people." God had put his hand on this young lad and said, "You are going to be the man that I'm going to use in this situation." And in Acts chapter 13, there's another little insight there. It says, "I found David, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Now again, let me emphasize this. Does that mean that David was perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. Does that mean he was sinless? No, of course not. He was not sinless. He made many a blunder, some of them very, very serious indeed. But he was still a man after God's own heart. He was still a man who was able to be used of God, to be led of God. Remember this, maybe there's someone here tonight, and that's a word for you. Sometimes the devil tries to almost put Christians out of action by accusing. You remember one of the names the Bible gives to the devil? He is the accuser. He accuses the saints. He likes to point his finger at you and say, "I remember you. You are the man who years ago did this. You are the woman who once behaved like that. How do you think, or who do you think you are, that you're going to be a follower of Jesus?" And he accuses the saints. You know the old saying, when somebody's down, putting the boot in them. That's what the devil does. And yet the lovely thing that we will notice with David, even though he was far from perfect, God led him and used him. And if you're here tonight, and who of us doesn't have a skeleton in the cupboard? Don't focus on the skeleton in the cupboard. By God's grace, rise above that. And don't allow the devil to accuse you or hinder you or keep you back. Go after God and be led of God. You see, you can only be led of God if you have a heart for God. And if you have a heart for God, then you will be led of God. And I deliberately read those verses right at the beginning of the service. I'm not going to repeat by reading them again. But read them, maybe when you go home or in your own quiet time this week. Psalm 119. The verses that I read were from verses 33 to 37. Try and remember that. Verses 33 to 37. Where it speaks about someone being led of God, someone having a heart for God, somebody wanting to go through with God, somebody not just taken up with the selfish gain of this world, how much more money can I get into my bank account, somebody who's not just taken by looking at worthless things. And how many people are there tonight? How many people, even in the kingdom of Mourne, and if they were even thinking about us, which I'm sure they're not, they might say, "Oh, those poor creatures, they've nothing better to be doing than going and sitting in there. I'm not quite sure what they're doing. They ridicule us." But what are they doing? What are they actually doing literally at this moment? They're actually looking at worthless stuff. Absolutely worthless. And the stuff that they're filling their heads with will be of no eternal value to them. And I tell you, in this world, whenever you're faced with the tragedies of life, and whenever each one of us is faced, as we one day will be, with our own mortality, and we look out into eternity, the things that people fill their heads with will at that point seem to be so much rubbish, of no help whatsoever. So don't be a bit afraid to try to encourage people to change their glance, to look at worthy stuff, to look at Jesus. I'm nearly finished, but let me say this. I love the story in the Bible of, do you remember Isaac? He sent his servant out to find him a wife. And the servant found a lady called Rebecca. And I love the rendering back in Genesis 24. I being in the way, the Lord led me. And there's an awful lot in that. We're talking tonight as we finish of a person being led of God. Young person, older person. If you're going to be led of God, then you need to be in the way. What does that mean? It means that you need to put yourself under the Word of God. It means that you need to put yourself under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, guidance is not so much about what should I do, what should I do. Guidance is first and foremost, what should I be? Because once you're in the right place as regards what you are, then more often than not, God will lead you to what you should do. And it all begins at the cross. Surrendering our hearts and our lives to Jesus. It was an eminent leader who said this, an unsurrendered will is the most serious of all obstacles to the discovery of God's will in your life. Do you want to know what God's will is for you tonight? Surrender your life to Jesus and he will guide you. Do you want to know what God wants you to do? Where God wants you to go? Who God wants you to meet? Surrender your life to Jesus afresh. You'll be led of God. And to be in that place is a pleasant and blessed place to be. Are we people after God's own heart, sought and found of God, molded of God, led of God? I trust and pray that we will. Let us pray. Father in heaven, tonight we thank you as we look at this person, this wonderful example of David with all his flaws. Lord, we pray that you would put within us a heart after the Lord, that we might be molded and led of you. Lord, hear our prayer and just continue to apply your word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we're going to conclude our service this evening with this lovely prayer. May the peace of God, our Heavenly Father.